Thank you. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please press star key followed by the digit one on your touch-tone telephone. If you're using a phone with a mute button, please make sure your mute button is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We will proceed in the order that you signal us, and we will take as many as time permits. Once again, press star one on your touch-tone telephone to ask a question. If you find that your question has been answered, you may remove yourself by pressing star two. We'll pause for just a moment to give everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. We will now take our first question from Graham Phillips from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Could you talk a little bit about what you characterize as automotive call-offs? What specifically are these, and what gives you confidence that they come back already from the second and third quarters?
We have a good view on the models which are coming to market, and according to the models, we also know when the projects are executed. Whilst GI is that we have like a 3 to 4 month period where we see the contracts in automotive, we have a good view throughout the year when there are call-offs. We have the frame contracts, and then once robots or lines are called off, then it's going to be order intake, and it's going to be also sales. And there we have good visibility for the next quarter and also for the second half of the year. But Peter, you can also...
Yeah, we see that in Q2 we will have a nice order intake, and therefore we expect that the call-offs will in the second half of the year be much stronger, and it will be in general a back-end loaded year this year.
Okay, and in the past you've stated that general industry margins are higher in robots than automotive. So how should we think about that? And I guess you're referring to the gross margin rather than the EBIT margin, because obviously after R&D, margins probably are lower in general industry. Would that be fair?
No, I think we generally don't give clear differentiation of the margin in automotive and GI, but as you indicate, in automotive we are talking about different volumes, and in GI you have lower volumes, but you have also on the R&D side, we have some platform topics which are for whole of cooker, and then in GI and automotive, you have certain areas where you have to attribute the R&D development towards applications. So, but just to round this up, in tendency, clearly we want to be above 10%. We also have explained that on R&D for the future topics, we have invested $7 million more, which you can do the calculation on the, the EBIT margin without this R&D expense. But clearly, GI is above 10%, and automotive is in tendency more like below 10%.
Okay, but most of the R&D, specifically in robots, is that in the general industry segment, or is it in automotive?
No, it's just again, we have a platform, which means if you look at the robots from 3 kilo now to 1.3 ton, this platform is used across industries. Therefore, we could just attribute it by revenue, but that is a platform. And then you get into applications. Spot welding is an application which is primarily for automotive. Arc welding is an application which goes in automotive and other industries. Handling is an application which goes in automotive and other industries. We can go to 10 applications, but there is, if you now take out the R&D, we can really attribute the R&D towards GI and automotive. But as mentioned, we can give you the information like automotive is below 10% and GI is above 10%. And if you go in some areas, medical where you have special robots, the margin is much higher because it's a specific product. But it's not like you can't give you like a blueprint to do the calculation here.
Okay, thank you. And just finally on Swisslog, and you talk about direction of margins there. Can you talk a little bit about what might give you confidence for margins to be eventually higher in that business, although there is more competition as you sort of run up against forklift-type companies and other automation companies? Is this a business where margins can be considerably higher, or is it more competitive than what you're traditionally used to in robots and systems?
You know, I don't know. If you look back at the system in 2009, we were at 1%, and now we are at 6.5%. You know, we were growing the business from 600 in systems to now something around 1.2, 1.3 billion. For me, Swisslog was, and it was also the reason we bought Swisslog, it was a little bit size-wise with 600 million. It is to be a global company, you need lots of SG&A cost, and I think with Kuka's help, you have a much better cost basis. You also have a much more global reach. And then, you know, the EBIT for the first quarter is according to our budget and according to our plans. We have the guidance for the full year of 3% and the longer-term guidance for the next 2 to 3 years to be above 5%. This is comparable to the numbers we gave years ago for systems. I believe that the margin in America is even much higher than the 5%. And the big impact on margin, I think this 5% is something where we are very confident to reach in the next 2 years, but I think the potential in Swisslog will come for also more Kuka products, robots, and also AGVs, and therefore also the margin potential is way above 5%.
Thank you.
We'll now move to Felicitas Bismarck from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. I have three questions, please. The first one, it seems that you have already spent half of the budgeted R&D increase for the full year. So are you just really well on track on this, or is that full year number more flexible than we thought? The second question would be on free cash flow. Just to reiterate, this is fully in line with your expectations, and you see working capital leveling out through the year. In this context, can you maybe repeat your working capital target for 2016? And my last questions would be, could you give any comments on the operational projects with Midea? How well are you on track on this? Thanks.
Yeah, coming first to the CapEx, we said up to 20 million CapEx extra for investing into 4.0, the Internet of Things and digitalization. That would be on top of the normal R&D. And the biggest part of it would be OPEX, not CAPEX. We spent not the biggest part of that. What you might refer to is the normal R&D. There we have spent so far 30 million in the first quarter, and that was a lot more than a year before. So 40% more I have in mind. And coming back to free cash flow, that is in line with our expectations, the minus. Why? Because it's clear we had it was a lower cash in we had, not it was not a cash out problem, a lower cash in because of lower revenues, lower prepayments from the customers, and it sits now in the trade working capital. You see that the trade working capital goes up by 63 million, which is more or less exactly the amount the free cash flow is negative. And we clearly expect that it will level out.
Can you give
like
a working capital?
We expect order intake Q2, very high ones, and then we will have revenue going up quite significantly in the second half of the year, and that should bring invoices and cash in from invoicing. That means receivables go down, and cash comes in and prepayments from new projects. So, therefore, what Till mentioned before, a double-digit positive free cash flow is what we expect still for the current year.
Operation projects, you know, there are lots of operation projects. I don't know, is there any specific you want to know? Because, you know,
the logistic centers that Midea has that you mentioned the last time.
You know, last time I was asked about, just to have the context in total, I was asked about operational projects with the big shareholders. And I was explaining that we have operational projects with all shareholders, also from the time when they were no shareholders. So just an example, Voith is using Kuka robots, Rital and Loa are using Kuka robots, and also Midea are using Kuka robots also prior to their investing into Kuka. And I think with all of them we have kind of arm's length relationships, and the topic I mentioned last time was that on Midea they have a very interesting operation. You know, they are coming from white goods,
mm-hmm.
and they have lots of logistics centers.
Mm-hmm.
And here is one example. We are in contact with them about automating this logistics centers, which is one opportunity. But there are lots of other opportunities, but they are not, you know, nothing where I can – it's a big opportunity, but I think it's nothing where I can give you today any more guidance on the
okay.
sales revenue. It's, they have more than 100 logistics centers, just to know the number. And I think as soon as I have further information, which are then also I can quantify, I will let you know, but there is a potential clearly in China, but in China not only with Midea.
Okay, thank you. Just one clarification. So the 10 million or almost 10 million that is spent more now on R&D than you did last year, that is absolutely in line with your expectations, and this ramp up is going to continue in an equal kind of speed over the next quarters.
Exactly. We spent 29.9, and the year before in the first quarter it was 21.3. That is exactly 40% more. And for the full year we expect something like 120 to 125 million R&D cost.
Thank you.
We will take our next question from Sven Weir from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Three questions also from my side. The first one is on your order pipeline. Obviously, we already heard last week how strong the U.S. is on the light trucks. But I was also a bit curious, and first of all, what kind of order inquiries you had after the Hanover show, after introducing your new general industry robot. Maybe you can give us some color on how that is going, and also specifically because some other companies are also seeing that at the moment that there are a couple of EV factory projects going on, especially in China. So I was just wondering if you would also benefit from those factories. The second question is just on the robotics margin outlook. I mean, given that probably Q2 revenues are going to be higher than Q1, you had favorable order intake mix. Towards service and GI, is it fair to assume that Q1 robotic margin will be the trough this year? And then the third question, more technical question, it seems that always Q1 seems to be very strong in GI robot order intake. Is that a certain pattern here, or is it just another coincidence? Thank you.
Okay, let me start with the Hannover Fair, and hopefully you who could join the Hannover Fair did also enjoy, because I think we have shown a lot of things, and also the feedback we got from customers was great on the products we have shown. Hannover is not a fair like the typical Drupa, where you are then doing like orders received of 600 million in one day. Hannover Fair is more like it's a brand fair, and we present the whole of Kuka, but I can give you lots of feedback on the products. I think very good was the feedback on our new 3-kilo robot. The 3-kilo robot is something which is completing our portfolio, and the 3-kilo robot on its own is a market where you have 50,000 robots in the market on three per year on 3-kilo, and that is a segment which we have not utilized over the last years, and our market share is somewhat in the range of 15%, 1.5. So I think that means that Stefan Lampa and his team have to get at least 7,000, 8,000 robots from this segment, which means only our own 3-kilo robot should be a market potential of some like 100 million. And the feedback from the electronic companies, the big ones, they have all shown up at the fair, is very positive. Fastest robot, the TCO, total cost of ownership, costs are very good. So this is very good feedback on this product. The same on the the KB robot, which is totally different. The one is an industrial robot, very fast. The other one is more like a sensitive robot, which you can do, for example, testing and inspection and plug setting. So for both, which are complementary, was good feedback, and I think it helps us to enter the 3C market very fast. Second topic, which was very, where people were impressed, was our showing that we are had connected a whole line and a whole little production system, and then you could go into the cloud and look in the details of robots, see predictive maintenance, can see how you can have asset management, so you know exactly what your robot's status, you know how they're running, you know when the next service has to come, you know maybe some on-process data, which also shows really live demonstration of Industry 4.0, and also a lot of the big OEMs came to us, and I think here we really make progress and also show what is possible on the digitization of our customer side, and we will see more software business coming in the next quarters, and therefore also we have announced our own 4.0 company. It's called Conyun. Conyun connecting to the cloud. Yun is Chinese because also in China we do big business, and so Conyun is the name for our 4.0. But, and I think that was very well taken, very well received by our customers, and they see big potential. Thirdly, easy to use. So, you know, our goal, Peter and Mai, is on the one hand, we want to sell more robots and we want to integrate the robots. So very important to make the use easier. You've seen also the easy to use, so easy programming application. You know, sometimes you don't, you know, you have to really take some time on this because today programming is happening on engineering level. And I think the future will be that we are much more also for users. So it must be user-friendly. Therefore, also programming and usage will be a big step. And the more people can do the usage, the more robots we're going to sell. So overall feedback, very, very good on robotic and also on the integration for the full line. Electro-vehicle, I think today there was an announcement that Google is doing something together with a car company. We have good traction in China. Electro-vehicle in China will be really, it will be an opportunity maybe that China is growing here further. We have more than 450 million euro revenue in China. Therefore, we are in contact with most of the OEMs in China. there's no detailed single project, but I think we will benefit from any electro vehicle coming from China. Robotic margin. Yes, we have some trading off impact. So on the one hand, you see this increased R&D numbers, which are up 7 million. But on the same time, we have a better mix, more service coming in, more order intake from GI. And your calculations, right, the margin should go up in the coming quarters. However, we have to see how much is coming in R&D in the next quarters and where the margin mix or the business mix stands. But in principle, yes, the more GI you have, the better the margin should be. Last question on the order intake. Last year we had a couple of big for overall. I think what is great for the first quarter last year, we had a couple of big contracts in systems to come up to 750. This year we only had regular business at 750, so that is for us a very good starting point in the year. You know, GI is, it is by accident, there is no reason that GI is, I think what we have seen over last year, GI was growing quarter on quarter very steadily. And you have, you know, while GI is kind of a steady sales distribution effort, automotive a little more, you know, coming in the quarter, coming in the next quarter. So you can have a good planning on GI quarter on quarter, and automotive is more like when are the big OEMs calling off and could sometimes going from Q1 to Q3. But clearly we have a good view on this automotive context coming.
But just a tiny follow-up question on your robotics margin outlook. Did you provide a guidance in your remarks? Because I didn't capture that. Was it 10 to 10 and a half for the full year?
Or no, just 10. 10. You just in half.
Okay.
10. 10 is a margin. 10 okay. Plus or above 10.
Okay, good. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Very good.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 to signal. As a reminder, if you're using a mute button, Please make sure your mute button is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We will take our next question from Sebastian Grover from Commerzbank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. My questions are all related to the demand, firstly on GI and then secondly to Swisslog. So let's start with GI then. You have alluded to the 2.4% growth in order intake in the robotics segment for GI. I think the number is rather soft, at least it looks to me rather soft. Could you just comment on if this is really fully in line with your internal budget and related to this? You obviously have been pointing to the above proportionate growth potential in GI, so would you just be willing to share with us your outlook for 2016, what you think is doable in terms of GI growth this year? Then related to this on the 3-kilogram robot and as a follow-up to Sven's question, can you just give us a sense until when you might reach the guided market potential of the 100 million? And here for the first generation of the Agilus robot, can you just give us the number where you currently stand? I think there the target was somehow 80 million, if I remember that correctly. Then moving on to Swisslog, and Dr. Reuter, you said that you believe you will see an acceleration in Q2. Could you just quantify this? Because I think the Q1 order level, and yes, we have seen 14% growth overall, but I think it was also coming from a very low base. So can you just give us an idea, really, what we should be prepared for to see at Swisslog in the coming quarters? Thank you very much.
Okay, let me just have more the concrete ones. So the 3-kilo robot, I think, is compared to the Agilus, which you mentioned. In Agilus, we are now selling something like 3,000 for the full year. First quarter was 730 around. That means that we are close to 3,000. And I think that's exactly the number I told you 5 years, 2012. And I think it's also, you know, the Agilus 6-kilo was a market of, I think it was 20,000. So 3,000, exactly what we promised. We launched it 2012. Now we are end 15, 3 years, and I think you should also have the same kind of planning. Within 3 years, three plus years, we should be on have the market penetration which we looked for. And here the market penetration should be more like this. Under August was around 3,000 for the 3-kilo. We have 7,500 robots, so. That's also our assumption to grow accordingly in this segment, but it's going to start only in September, October, so it's not starting now, just that you also, if you calculate this, take it into consideration. GI outlook, you know, we're talking about one quarter now. I think, you know, for the full year, we are still, you know, we want to grow 10%, so, you know, I think it's not, it's clearly it's now we have a one look at 2.4. You know that China is always a challenge in the first quarter because, you know, we are starting in January, then you have the Chinese New Year, which is blocking 2 weeks in February. China is coming in only in March really strong. So I think we are full in line to grow 10% in GI for robotics for this year, and so don't see any changes. Also, if 2.4 is a number which is not you know, reflecting the 10%, but Peter and I are confident to reach the 10%. On Swisslog, yes, right. In 2015, you know, we took over Swisslog end of 14. We squeezed out the minorities in the third quarter 2015, so had really hands-free after the in Q3 2015. And, you know, then we could really change management more dramatically. Now we have done our jobs here, have established the management, have really also a leaner holding or a leaner structure. We don't have a real holding because we're reporting directly to Peter and me. So lots of things done and changed. But this took a little bit of order intake in 15, where also some of the contracts were postponed. So in clear messages, yes, we are growing again, and we're expecting higher and bigger order intake in the coming quarters. And, you know, also Swisslog was always stronger in the second half of the year. And also we see, though, I think we have turned Swisslog on order intake and now are going up. And I think clearly the growth will be here above 10% for the full year. Clearly, we have some big contracts. If they are showing in, then you will see tremendous growth. But that's something where we will see in Q2 and Q3.
Okay, thank you very much for the clarification. Just a quick follow-up on the Agilus. So you said it was 3,000 units for a market that is total 20,000, so 15% share, pretty much in line with the kind of bread and butter robotics business, right? Is it a similar assumption that you then have in terms of really market share for the electronics robots piece going forward?
You know, I think I would not tie it down to only robotics. Just, you know, on Agilus, the market to look into was 20,000 robots, and we were just applying our market share as target. So Lampe has team 20,000 market. You just need at least 15%, 1.5. We want to go for more, but the topic was in three years we have to reach the 3,000. Now, if you look at the 3-kilo robot, it's a bigger market, 50,000. So if you just have the 15%, it comes up to 7,500, and the majority will come from electronic, but I think here the market potential will be even higher. So, and if you take the price, it's a market above 100 million, and we want to get into the 100 million next 3 years. But I see the potential in 3 kilo even higher than on the Agilus side.
Okay, very clear. Thank you very much.
We will now move to Yavahar Hingorani from Bloomberg Intelligence. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my question. I just wanted to get an idea of all of this investment that you talked about at the Capital Markets Day as well on software. And I think if I'm not mistaken, some of that accounts for the increase in headcount. Can you give us an idea of what kind of margin boost you expect from that, not just in 2016, but going forward as well? And then maybe if you can characterize, just kind of put that, you know, together in terms of the different relationships you have, what that looks like to the marketplace in addition to robotic systems and SwissLog.
That's a great question. I, you know, could talk 2 hours about this because, you know, Peter and I gave last year the guidance of 4 to 4.5 billion for the group and 7.5% margin. To be clear, above 7.5% because there's more potential. Now, I also showed at Hannover that today we have R&D of 500 people in whole Kuka, maybe a little bit more with the other companies. We're going to be above 1,000 people, which means software will have a big impact on the business. That also means that on the margin side, we will be higher than 7.5%. And what we are currently doing, you know, we have now presented our products in Hannover. We clearly the industry 4.0 starting points where you connect single machines, where you can do predictive maintenance, where you have transparency on asset management, and where you can optimize full lines. And we are working on, there's additional margin potential, which we are currently talking in each single division. So on just to I want to just give you the picture on this. So on robotics, it's about how can we do more predictive maintenance? How can we guarantee uptime? And what is the pricing for higher availability? On that's one point which I think is more transparent, that we have can have a better view on the impact on robotics, that we want to go to a margin of 13 to 14% in robotics long term. So 14 should be the margin for robotics, and maybe with more software, the margin robotics should go somewhat towards 15. On the system side, when you think today about, and that's we're talking about the verticals, if you look in systems, today we have the margin of through cycle of 6 to 7%. And I think on the system side, the topic is, today we are only doing project, but the potential on 4.0 is in system much bigger. Because if we manage to have a different models and we can optimize the lines of our OEMs or the lines of our aerospace companies, there's a much higher EBIT potential, which I don't want to say here today because it's something where we have to do our homework. We are doing our homework, and how big is the margin potential on the system side driven by 4.0. Same on industries. Industries today, same margin as systems, but on industry-wise, in systems, we have these big lines where you're part of an ecosystem. On the industry side, we have much more smaller customers, and there our idea is that we have ready to use industry 4.0 applications, so that customers buy solutions, small solutions, which they automatically connect to a Kuka cloud and get updates. So there today we have the target of 8% for 2020, but with the 4.0, I think here we'll have a higher margin potential because these companies get much more service from us. On Swisslog, the same. Today, I think the margin potential for 2020 is something like 7% without 4.0. And here again, we have, like in system, we are analyzing the potential. But in overall, while in robotics is on the product side a little bit easier, for the full of KUKA, the margin should be much, not much higher, but there should be a good step above 7.5 if we really execute the 4.0 in the right way.
Okay, great. And just real quick, could we expect to see a separate sort of business unit or product line in terms of software going forward? That, you know, I'm not saying works independently, but could be an independent offering.
You know, if you have seen our communication last week, we have also announced that we have started our own 4.0 company, which is called ConYun. Con, which means connect, and Yun means cloud of Chinese. And this ConYun is going to concentrate all the 4.0 digitalization efforts in KUKA, and to give it really a strong push, we have done this separate entity and to put the relevant team into this entity to help for whole KUKA to digitalize much faster.
That's great. Thank you.
Welcome.
We will take our next question from Harald Reimert from LBBW. Please go ahead.
Thank you. There are remaining two questions for me. First one is your gross margin you had in the Q1 with 28.2. Is this a sustainable level going forward? And normally we have a seasonal trend of increasing the margin from quarter to quarter. Or are there any one-time effects? And the other questions regarding your projects in Swisslog. With a view on the regions, is this mainly European business, also the projects you see already in your pipeline, or is it widespread all over the world?
Gross margin, there are no special effects which are large in this 28%. There was an extra effect in the prior year, and that was part of the PPA at Swisslog. That's the main reason why we are higher. I think you are not wrong if you take something like the 28 for the year.
Yeah, on the orders received on Swisslog, it comes from the e-commerce segment, so, you know, and something we also referred to in the past. Similar to KUKA, Swisslog was coming from the pallet. So KUKA came from big robots, Swisslog comes from pallet, and I think the future on both business also into smaller and faster moving goods. And therefore, you know, we invest in this light good cyclone carrier, which we have shown in Logimat. And so contracts are coming from e-commerce, but also other markets like pharma and so on. So there's no one single big project. There are lots of different projects, but mainly coming from e-commerce.
The question was regarding the regions. Is it mainly European business, or you are also widespread in the world?
Widespread in the world. It is not. You know, they have 40% US, they have 30-40% Europe, and 20% China. So it's according to our global split.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the 1 on your telephone. We will now take our next question from Jasko Terzic from Metzler. Please go ahead.
Yes, three questions left. One on Swisslog, two on Agilus. On Swisslog, could you remind us on restructuring charges you had in Q1 and also the R&D related spending at Swisslog to have a better comparability about the profitability development? The second question is on Agilus, your 6-kilo Agilus, just to get it right. You guided for 20,000 robot market, achieved now 15%. So does that mean that as a market in the last year seems not to be grown, that this market is now saturated and stable performing? And a second question on the Agilus topic is on your 3-kilo. Is it a complementary market, or will the smaller one also cannibalize something of the market potential of the bigger Agilus brother?
Let me start with a product question. You know, the Agilus, and just showed that we are in 15 and 16 now, have the 3,000. The market is growing further, but a colleague asked about the ramp up and the launch of the 3-kilo, and I was referring to just the things we made clear over the last years, how we are going to increase, and we achieved already 3,000 and clearly want to grow further because all the market is growing further, but it shows really how we launch, and after 3 years we have launched now, we are selling per year 3,000, and it's just the comparison of also what you should expect on the launch of the 3-kilo one. The products are complementary, so there will be some overlap, but it's limited. But both products are complementary, and therefore also what's important, that KUKA goes the next step. We have done in 2012 the 6-kilo. Now we have done 2016 3-kilo, and that is, I think, is a good step to a big step to more have a bigger or a broader product portfolio.
Yeah, Swisslog, your first question, R&D charges were around 3 million for Swisslog in Q1.
And
we
no integration.
Not only
issues.
In R&D. Sorry?
And no integration costs or something like that.
Integration cost was the other, was not significant.
Okay. Thank you.
Some 1 to 2 million, a million, yeah, a million, I think, you can take.
Helpful, thank you.
It appears there are no further questions at this time. Mr. Spitzer, I would now like to turn the conference back over to you for any additional or closing remarks.
Yeah, thank you, operator. Yeah, thank you for your participation, and if you have further questions, please feel free to call us. And we wish you a great afternoon. Thank you and bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation and have a good day.